The Kephart Communications Podcast is hosted by School District of Washington Superintendent Dr. Jennifer Kephart. With help from our team in the Washington High School CAPS program, Dr. Kephart and her guests share information ranging from district happenings, current events, and student experiences to keep listeners informed about the School District of Washington. If you are a parent, district employee, or community member, this podcast is for you. Let's welcome Dr. Kephart and her guest, Mrs. Miranda Anderson, to talk about our updates in our district's curriculum, resources, and instructional planning this school year.
Thank you, Taylor, for the introduction, and thank you to Mrs. Anderson for joining us in the CAP studio today. We're glad to have you.
It is a pleasure to be with you today, Dr. Kephart. I appreciate you giving me a few moments to talk about something that is so important to the success of our students.
Great. I appreciate you being here. So Mrs. Anderson joined me in the School District of Washington last year. So we are both into our second year, and she's joining us as the Assistant Superintendent for Curriculum, Instruction, and Assessment. We recently had a curriculum parent night where you and your curriculum coordinators talked about instruction, resources, and curriculum in the district. So on this podcast today, I'd like to share a little bit of the information from that evening and be able to let our listeners know more about the curriculum and instruction that we have in the School District of Washington. So to begin that, can you tell us a little bit about maybe some common terms that would be helpful for our listeners, for our parents to know that might be school type, school ease that we use that would be helpful?
Absolutely. We use a lot of terms and a lot of acronyms in education that we certainly need to define for our listeners. So some of those key terms or acronyms, the first one I'd like to point out is curriculum. When we talk about curriculum, that is something that we create internally within our district. We use teachers, curriculum coordinators, administrators, the standards that are given to us by the state of Missouri, and we put those into units with depth of knowledge, vocabulary, some essential skills to help create the curriculum or the pacing guides and instruction that our teachers follow. Coupled with that is instructional resources, and sometimes curriculum and resources are used interchangeably. Resources are something we typically purchase. They can be teacher created, but they support the curriculum that is created internally. Another acronym we've been using a whole lot this year that we talked about a lot the other night is our MTSS, or our multi-tiered systems of support framework that we are building. That works with our curriculum and resources to make sure we are providing instruction that the students need to help them succeed the best. So with the first tier, when we look at this framework, we look at assessments, which we do throughout the day in a variety of ways to see how our students are responding to what they're being taught. And with that, we look at our tier one, which is our classroom instruction, to make sure that students are mastering the skills they need. And then we use assessments to determine who needs additional support, which could be in the form of a tier two or tier three support depending on need. And another thing we need to keep in mind is that assessments aren't always something that are formative. Well, they're formatively done throughout the classroom all day long, but there are also summative assessments that are done at the end that have a little more rigor to them potentially than our common everyday assessments. But we're constantly assessing everything we do to make sure our students are learning.
That was some great information, and I'm going to unpack it a little bit more for our listeners. Let's start with curriculum for just a moment. You did a very nice job of explaining the differences between curriculum and instruction and resources. But when we talk about learning targets for our students, where we want them to be, where we want them to grow, where do we, as the School District of Washington, where do we get our learning targets? How do we know, as you and your curriculum team work through our curriculum for the school district, where do they get that information?
So the information for our learning targets comes from the Missouri Learning Standards, which we have to follow according to the state guidelines. So most of our courses, especially our core content, has Missouri Learning Standards that we follow, and we unpack those to know what depth of knowledge we need to teach students at to help us prepare the activities that we need and the assessments that we need to follow up on to make sure they've mastered the learning target. And typically we try to post those in student-friendly language so that they know what they are expected to learn at the end of the lesson.
So how often do you and your team review what comes from the state, from the Missouri Learning Targets? How often do you review the curriculum that we have in our school district based upon those learning targets?
So we have an administrative procedure that goes with board policy IF that outlines when we review our when we review all of our curriculums. Typically, that's a six-year revision process, or it happens every 6 years. However, sometimes based on if standards change or needs change based on assessment results we're getting, we can go in and revise that at any time needed. But oftentimes, that's a six-year cycle.
And during that cycle, you spoke just a little earlier about resources, too. During that cycle, is that when you review resources and look at additional resources?
It is. It's when we look at how our students are meeting the content that we are administering to them and seeing if we need to make any adjustments into our resources that we've purchased. We always look at what's best practice. We look at all kinds of reports to see if the resources are in alignment with our state standards, with our technology. There's a lot that goes into making sure our resources are just what we need for each course.
So if we look at last school year, can you tell me a little bit more and tell our listeners a little bit more about the updates that came out of the curriculum office from last year that we will see our students interact with this year?
Absolutely. Last year we did an in-depth review of our ELA, and so we got all new resources. Actually, it's been within the last couple years, and teachers are currently implementing those resources throughout the district, and we're keeping an eye on our students' scores and seeing how they are performing based on what the instruction and the resource together are helping them master. And we have also, adjusted our reporting so that when ELA specifically right now is reported out to students or to parents on our report cards, they will see it more as a skills with several standards that feed into that skill and will help, especially at the K through 5 levels, help parents know if students are mastering certain skills rather than each specific standard.
And as a leader that has been in curriculum the majority part of my administrative career, I really appreciate the work that you and your team have done in order for parents to better understand a student's growth that's coming from the progress reports, but that are also coming out of report cards, as you had shared, especially at that elementary level because of the skills that are being focused on. So I think our parents will see that they can understand more about the growth and the needs of their children this year.
Thank you. I hope so. And along with all of those changes, we are updating our website quite significantly to include more resources for parents to help them know what look-fors to have at certain grade levels. And there's going to be a parent roadmap and a video to outline what reporting looks like. So hopefully the parents will find that to be very helpful.
And we will make sure in the show notes for the podcast to include the link for the website, because I know that is new for your team this year also.
Yes, the website definitely link in, and it will be continuously updated. Some of these resources will take time to finalize and get on there, but they are coming.
Good, good. Well, so with your team for this school year that we're in now, what focus areas, what content areas are you looking at on that revision cycle?
We are looking at math this year, so you're going to see some major revisions in math, and we are doing a phased implementation with new math resources. Teachers and administrators and the coordinators took a year to review resources and dig deep into a variety of resources and selected what they feel is best for our district and our students. And so we are doing a phased implementation with those that were ready to move forward, and then next year everybody will be using the new resources.
One of the things that may be helpful for our listeners to know as well, on our last podcast, we had Mr. Dan Leslie, our board president, and he shared a little bit about board governance and the importance that the board has with oversight, but not the daily tasks that we have as administrators. I do think it would be helpful for our listeners to know that both the math resources that you just spoke about, but also the English language arts resources that you spoke about, have all been board approved. Can you tell a little bit about that process for board approval that we as administrators in the district have to go through and get to go through with our board?
Yes. So the first step is we try to review pretty much all resources we can find that would align to our needs. And teachers go through that, and we use a rubric that they check off to make sure to see which programs or which resources work best. And then we narrow it down typically to about three and get quotes and see what works best for our budget in terms of, you know, financially, we have to be responsible for
our fiscally responsible. For yes, our that's important too.
But then we teacher voice is huge because they are the ones that are actually using the resources. So we rely heavily on what the teachers recommend as best, and our board has so far, in my experience, supported what our teachers feel like is best, while also being fiscally responsible. We try to make sure we get the resources students need without over-purchasing anything. And so then we make sure our board has access to the resources and can review them in depth to the extent that they are interested and would like. And then we move forward with board approval.
Well, I appreciate you going into depth about resources. We shared just a little bit about curriculum, part of the layers of curriculum and instruction. And again, you shared this in the beginning about assessments. Assessments are the way that our classroom teachers really gain data on students to see if they're growing, if they're being successful, and if not, what can we as the teachers do to help support the gaps that students may have. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about the assessment process and what your team does to support assessments in the classroom?
Absolutely. There's, like I said, there's a lot of assessments all day, every day happening just informally. But some of the formal assessments we do, currently we have a new assessment tool, which is FastBridge, that we do 3 times a year for K-8. And it is utilized to an extent at the high school, or will be. It hasn't been yet, but it will be, to measure student success and to help identify some of those missing gaps and to also ensure growth of our students. So we rely on that data to help us then drive our interventions and understand what skills each student needs. We can also use that tool to progress monitor schools, to progress monitor skills to make sure our students are making progress towards mastery of those skills. We also have state-level assessments that are done once a year just to measure how our students are doing in comparison to students throughout the state. And of course, we have our common unit assessments that are done throughout the classroom at the end of a unit.
So how do our parents see the growth that their students are making in the reports that you had just shared with FastBridge, even with state data? What do our parents see coming back from their children's growth?
So our parents should see reports coming home. Like I said, FastBridge is brand new, so parents will be seeing reports coming home that show where their student is performing. They should get those reports 3 times a year. In addition, if their student is receiving interventions, they should be getting detailed information about those interventions. And then also each year, annually, usually in the summer, our state releases the state assessment scores for K-8. We call those MAP scores. They're grade level assessments, not K-8, 3-8, my apologies. And so those scores come home, usually parent-teacher conference time, but we let parents know they're available so they could come get them early if they need them. And same with the end of course exams for the high school. Those are also state assessments that are released in the summer and go home in the beginning of the school year.
And our parent-teacher conference time coming up in a few weeks. It's gone by so quickly, but coming up in a few weeks, that is the first chance really to see the growth that our students have been making since the start of the school year and those rich conversations with teachers about the data that they're receiving on their students. Given that information, I know that parents also utilize Lumen to be able to see grades and to see progress. Is there anything that would be helpful for our parents to know about Lumen or how to access Lumen if they have questions?
For sure. And we have a parent summit coming up that has to do with Lumen next month. So I would like to invite parents to come and learn more about Lumen, but they are also welcome to contact the Technology and Learning Center and speak to one of our coordinators to get more detailed information about how to see those grades if they're struggling to access their students' grades.
And our technology department has some good how-to videos as well. I'll make sure that those get linked in the show notes for Lumen if we have a parent that still hasn't accessed that yet.
Yes, thank you.
So as we wrap up today, is there anything else that you would like to share with us about your expertise in curriculum, instruction, resources, or assessment?
No, but I would like to just remind our listeners that our most important resources are teachers, of course, instructing our students, coupled with student attendance. If our students aren't here to learn, that it's very difficult for them to make the gains that we're hoping to see them make in the school year.
Absolutely. I would agree with that as well. Well, thank you, Mrs. Anderson, and a big thank you to my fabulous CAPS broadcasting team today. And thank you to our listeners for partnering with us as we live out the School District of Washington mission to inspire achievement, character, and personal growth in all students as they pursue and succeed in college, careers, and life. Join us next time when we talk about character education with Mrs. Wilcox.
Check out the show notes, and don't forget, you can connect with the district on Facebook, Twitter, at SD of Washington, and the website washington.k12.mo.us. And remember, Blue Jays,
rock on! Respect,
ownership,
commitment,
and kindness.